I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. NPR's Farah Shadeya joins me now. She's been talking to our tech expert, Mario Armstrong, about something that the staff tells me I'm particularly attached to, and that's a cell phone.
Well, Ed, you're not the only person. I mean, most people have at least one cell phone. Some people have two or two and a BlackBerry. But Mario has some tips on how you can do better by your cell phone cost and by your service.
All right. So what can we do to, in fact, make it better for us?
Well, one thing is, have you registered your cell phone on the National Do Not Call list?
No. Now, my home phone, I did that, but not the cell phone.
Well, hey, here's why Mario said that you got to get your cell phone registered, too.
The Do Not Call list was a site that was started by the government. This was something that the Federal Trade Commission decided to enforce early on for home phones, but you can use this just as well for wireless cell phones. So you would log on to donotcall.gov and thereby placing in your cell phone number or your home phone number to then take you off and remove you from any telemarketing lists.
Now let's talk about some other recent developments in cell phones. The first one is cell phone number portability, the whole idea that you can have the same number for 10 years and you want to switch providers, but you can keep the number. How does this work?
Some of the things that you need to be aware of when you do this thing called number portability is that you can only do it in the same local area that you're in. So if you move from one metropolitan or one county to another, you may or may not still be able to keep that number. Two, a big no-no that a lot of folks do, Farai, is they end up canceling their service prior to making the portable switch over to the new carrier, and that can cause major problems.
And there's so many mergers. AT&T got gobbled up by Singular, Sprint and Nextel. What do you need to worry about if your company is bought by another one?
The only thing that you need to really worry about is how will certain things like maybe your termination fee be affected? Can you switch from your previous carrier to the new carrier without there being any new stipulations or new contracts set? Those are some of the small fine print you want to look for.
And let's talk about the types of phones, regular phones versus smartphones. What's a smartphone?
This is the 007 of cell phones. You can do calendaring, email, phone conferencing. These are phones for people that are on the go, on the move, and need to be constantly connected to data or information. A regular phone is just your regular standard, hey, I want to pick up the phone, make a call, and it work and not drop.
Now, if you have one of these smartphones, but you're not smart enough to figure it out, can you trade it back in for a dumb phone?
You know, that's a great question. Smartphones versus dumb phones. Now we're going to all, you're going to take a personality test by checking out what people have in their pockets now. But you raise a very good issue. A lot of folks do not know that there are grace periods with these providers. If you start a new contract with a cellular wireless provider, you have at a minimum 14 days, at a maximum, some providers offer up to 30 days for you to test that phone and that service out without you receiving any penalty for switching or canceling the service.
What about SIM cards? Recently, I switched numbers and phones and all sorts of things, and I had a SIM card, and I thought I could just transfer it to my new phone, and they were like, oh, no, 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 no. So tell us more about that.
SIM cards are these little microchips, and they slide into your phone, and it keeps all your personal information. It keeps information about you that you have on your phone, such as the phone number, the serial number to the phone, but then it also can hold, say, your calendaring or, say, your contacts and address book. So the SIM card is functional because you can take that out and plug it into another cell phone for use if you so choose to keep that profile with you.
Finally, and this is something I think a lot of people are thinking about given what's been going on in Louisiana and Mississippi, cell phones are overtaking home phones. Some people, including myself, don't actually have a home phone. They just have a cellular number. Can you just go without a home telephone?
Well, I know you're on the move. Do you even have a home?
I still have a place to lay my head.
6% of all U.S. homes across the country are wireless only. You fall into that bracket, Farai. My only fear with us going fully wireless is, number one, 911 at this point still can't totally detect your exact location. That's my number one issue. You can save money, certainly, by going wireless, but make sure you buy a sturdy phone and one that has very long talk time and at least 5 days of continuous battery life. So if, in fact, your battery starts to go dead or you have no other way to charge it, you're at least good for almost a week.
Thanks, Mario.
Thank you, Farai.
So, Farai, you really don't have a home phone.
No, I don't at this point, but I just learned something interesting, which is that in California, where I live, you can actually get an emergency phone for something like $5 a month. So you can't use it to make outgoing calls except in case of an earthquake. And I think I'm going to look into that.
All right. Well, in California, you certainly need to be able to make an outgoing call when those earthquakes inevitably come. We should note that Mario Armstrong covers technology for Baltimore area NPR member station WEAA and WYPR. And he spoke with our correspondent, Fry Chidea, who joins me here. Fry, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.